Let's enjoy today's message by Sam Adeyemi.
This morning, we start a new series of discussions just for a few weeks, and it's on financial success. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. I sense something in my spirit, and it is that this is a season of abundance for us. Amen. I believe God for miracles, for divine intervention in our finances. I believe God for a shift to a new level for every single one of us. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. Many of us know this verse of scripture, but I want us to read it together. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. Are you there? It's on the screen. Let's go. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. So we'll title this Secrets of Supernatural Provision. Secrets of Supernatural Provision. I've been a church boy for a few years now. Had many messages preached on prosperity. My burden is, you know, on the fact that there are loads of people who still haven't gotten it. Some people, yes, but majority of people haven't gotten a good handle of the process and the principles for creating wealth with the power of God. Let's start from here. Wealth is spiritual. Wealth is essentially spiritual. Until you get it on the spiritual dimension, it's not likely to work for you on the material dimension. In Luke chapter 4, we have the temptation of Christ. I want to read Luke chapter 4 from verses 5 to 8. The conversation that Satan had with Jesus. It says, then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory. For this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. This is Satan himself speaking clearly and directly. You won't have control over material wealth, over power and influence in the material world, until you get it in the spiritual. And he was making a proposition to Jesus, I'll give it to you. It's just that there's one condition, you worship me. Okay, but the basic point I'm trying to make is, there's always more to life than what meets what you see. There's always more to life than meets the eye. There's more in every line of business or profession, every city, even a nation. It is what happens in the spiritual realm that determines what happens in the physical. If you don't have control of wealth in the spiritual, you'll be a struggler in the material. The people who dictate the flow of resources are those who have influence from the spiritual realm. Satan is saying here, look, Jesus, I have some control over this realm that you are looking at. I can give it to you. That's the truth, sir. As a plain truth, as a plain truth, there's a lot of money in this city. Billions of naira exchange hands every single day in this city. But the fact that there's abundance of wealth or resources flowing around does not guarantee it will come to you. Except you have control over it in the spiritual. As a pastor in this city, I've been pastored 20 years now, I learned it the hard way. There are millions of people in this city. millions. One of the fastest growing cities in the world. But the fact that there are millions of people does not mean that if you open your doors and say you started the church, people will come trooping in. Human beings are spiritual. Human beings are spiritual. If you don't have influence in the spiritual realm, you can't attract resources. And human beings are human resources, the most valuable assets on this planet. That's the basic understanding I want us to have this morning. Hear what Satan said. He said, I will give it to you if you will worship me. So what he was asking in exchange was worship. Worship. The word worship is from the word what. Worship. Value. Worshipping God is celebrating his value as a person. Not what he's done. Who he is. Okay? And you know, the day God gave me insight from that passage, he said to me, whenever Satan speaks about worship, listen to him. He knows what he's talking about. He led worship in heaven. If you read Ezekiel 28, you see it there, that music was designed into him. The ability to make music was wired. It was constructed for that. He was an archangel in heaven. There were three of them. Himself, Gabriel, and Michael. Gabriel controlled one third of the angels in heaven, and their own assignment was delivering messages. So in the Bible, if you saw where somebody delivered the message and it was an angel, that would likely be Michael, Gabriel. Michael is a fighting angel. He's an archangel, oversee one third of heaven's angels, fighter. If you see anywhere where warfare was required, Michael would show up. Lucifer's job was leading worship in heaven, and he led one third of the angels. When he rebelled, he led one third of the angels in rebellion against God. When he talks about worship, listen to him. And he's saying here, you can get influence over the material world if you will worship me. You can't, listen, you only get wealth in the material world to the equivalent of the value of the one you got in the spiritual. That's how life works, sir. That's how life works. So the basic reality is this, that Jesus, okay, in that temptation, Jesus did not contest the principle. He didn't say it's a lie. No. That's the law. It's a principle of exchange. You give God value or what? Worship is simply laying down your life because you realize God is worth more than your life. Giving God your life. It's not just singing. The singing is an expression of the worship. Worship is the state of the heart. The first time the word worship occurred in the Bible was in Genesis 22 verse 5. If you want to understand any topic in the Bible, check the first time it occurred. We call it the law of first mention. So the first time worship is mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis 22 and verse 5. Abraham is about to take his son up to sacrifice him to God on God's instruction. So he says to his servant, you stay here. I and the lad will go beyond and worship and come back to you. What was he describing as worship? He got up on the mountain, took a knife and was going to slash the boy's throat. And God said, hold it. Stop. It was just a test. And then the Bible says he lifted up his eyes and he saw a ram caught in the bush. And he named the place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord Jehovah is my provider. It also means in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Okay? So, and then God spoke the second time and said, because you did this, by myself have I sworn, in blessing I will bless you, in multiplying I will multiply you. So, Abraham worships. He gives God, celebrates God's value. God was worth more than the life of his son. That's why he could give his son to God. And God said, no, I'm not asking you to murder your son. It's just a test. How far are you willing to go in giving? And then God downloads the blessing on him, gives him the spiritual equivalent of wealth. It was inevitable Abraham would prosper materially from that point on. He got spiritual wealth. So that's where it comes from. So there are two sources of wealth and power from the spiritual realm, God and Satan. So Satan here is offering Jesus, and Jesus said, no, I can't go for the fake when I have access to the original. I'm going to worship God. Amen. But sometimes when we don't know, we just run around confused like that. When people don't know how to walk God's system, then Satan steps in and offers alternatives. So you have church people being tempted to dabble into the occult. But I guarantee you one thing about Satan. He's a thief. If he gives you anything, he will take more than that from you. I promise you that. He's a thief and he's a liar, a deceiver. John 8:44, Jesus said he's the father of lies. He said he's a liar and he's the father of it. He said when he tells a lie, he speaks his natural language. The day Satan tells the truth, this world will disappear. He does not have the capacity. So my challenge is that there's a lot of deception going on in town. A lot of deception. I've told this story before. I'll say it again. The young man, I met him recently in Abuja, doing very well now, fine Christian. But many years ago, he was a member of the church where I was pastoring before. And he came and told me a story. He was a young Christian then. How in the quest for wealth, a friend took him off to the expressway, Lagos about the expressway, and then they branched off into a village, drove in to a village where they went to meet one old man like that. And the old man gave them a prophetic instruction. They had to trek to the next village. Each person bought a ram, and the ram must not touch the ground until they came back. So each person carried his own ram on his neck. And when they got back to the Baba, two people lifted the ram up and the ram was slaughtered over their head so that the blood drained down their body. He suffered there. After that, the money he was looking for, he didn't get. Satan is a liar, I'm telling you. He's a liar, he's a thief, he's a destroyer. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. It hurts no sorrow. Proverbs 10:22. Why go for the fake when you have the original? But more importantly, why walk around running all over the place like a headless chicken when you have access to the real thing? We just need to understand how it works. Amen? Good. You must get it in the spiritual. Listen, what you get in the physical is the material equivalent of what you have gotten in the spiritual. What you get in the physical is the material equivalent of what you have gotten in the spiritual. 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. See that? Soul prosperity must precede physical prosperity. Soul prospers. Ask psychologists who have researched into the secrets of wealth. They tell you, you don't attract material wealth until you have prosperity consciousness. That's what they call it. That's how they describe it. It is soul prosperity. Prosperity consciousness. In other words, you come to the point where you know you are rich. You become rich inside first. That's where it starts from, sir. That's where it starts from. In Mark 11:23-24. Many of us know this passage of scripture, but I want to read it so you see it. Just simple spiritual principles. Mark 11:23-24. Some words that Jesus uttered. It says, "For assuredly I say to you," Jesus speaking here, "whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you," verse 24, "whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." The receiving there are two levels, isn't it? The first one is spiritual. At the point at which you are praying, pray to the point where you know you received it. You got it. You got the spiritual. He said, "and you will have them." That one is the physical, the material equivalent. Look at verse 23 again. "Assuredly, I say to you, whoever will say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea." Okay? But there's a condition. "And shall not doubt in his heart." That's the point. In other words, in your heart, the mountain has already moved. You've seen it move inside. When you say it, then it will work. People think it's magic. You just confess, confess, confess. Some people have confessed and confessed and confessed. They have become confused. There are many things we had in church that has not been working for people. People are becoming disillusioned, especially over this issue of prosperity. The point is, you can talk from today to tomorrow. If what you are saying does not match what is in your heart, nothing will happen, sir. You must get it spiritually before you get it physically. That's the point I'm making. Vision is the key to provision. Vision is the key to provision. Vision is intangible or spiritual. Provision is material. When you break up the word provision, you have pro and vision. Pro means for or towards. The opposite is anti. Am I right? So if it is provision, it means it's for division. No wonder Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, people perish. Where there is no spiritual, people perish in the material. One translation of that verse, Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no revelation of God, people perish. So it's revelation. So what we'll be exploring is how do we get it spiritually? That's the big key. I'm serious. It's not difficult to make money or to attract it. If you have been without money before and now you have money, you will realize it is not because you are working harder. Like they say, it's because you are working smarter. The major change is here in your understanding and in your insight. You don't have to increase the stress in your life to make more money. Hallelujah. Jesus said, come to me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I will give you rest. He said, take my own yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is... With God, it's easier. See, if you are anxious about money, I promise you, you will drive it away from you. The two of them don't go together. Because your anxiety is proof that you are worried. It is proof that your thinking is negative. See? If inside, that's what faith does. If inside you've seen yourself in possession of money, it will give you rest. You need peace to attract money. Because peace is prosperity. Peace and prosperity go together. Amen. No more worrying. No hassle. Hallelujah. This month, you will receive something. That is the prophetic promise that I have from God. That this month, somebody here, you will hear something you have never heard before. So the first key for us is prayer. Prayer. Communication with God. Prayer. It's just that the prayer has to be accurate. And many people who pray, but their prayer is an opportunity to express their worry and anxiety. My pastor said many of our prayer warriors are worried. So, on Wednesday, if you join me, I'm going to explore this subject a whole lot more on Wednesday. The prayer and the other means to which we tune to God's frequency. The fact that your radio is on does not mean you are on a signal. You hear, sometimes you hear shh. It's because you are not on a particular frequency. When you are not on God's frequency, you won't hear anything. The fact that you are praying doesn't matter. You can shout today to tomorrow. But when you get on the right frequency, you download. Am I right? You download. You get information. This month, somebody here will hear something. You will shift to a new level. And I guarantee, as heaven's deposits are put inside you, you will attract people you've never attracted in your life before. I guarantee you that. You will attract opportunities you've never attracted before. God will prosper you and you will be excited. What will excite you will be the way God will bless you. What the amounts of money that have looked big will become very cheap for you this year. I guarantee you that. I guarantee you that. Amen. This one is one I have learned and I understand how it works. Somebody is shifting. This year, God is making many millionaires in this church. Loads of them. And this year, some billionaires too. Depending on each person's capacity to take it. The days of crying over money are over for someone here, I guarantee you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the days of heated argument over money in the bedroom, those days are over. Hallelujah. Wife asked for money for soup. Say, calm down, it's coming. Hallelujah. No problem. You know, one of my mentors said, his wife said one day in the house, there is no soap. The soap in the bathroom is the last soap in this house. We have to do something. And he told her, it cannot be the last soap in this house. He said, I'm telling you, there is nothing in this store. It is the last soap. You see, they were on two frequencies. He said, so I'm telling you that it cannot be the last soap in this house. I guarantee you, before it is finished, another one will show up. She said, okay, that's what we are talking about. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. If it is in your heart, it will come out of your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So all those confessions of it's difficult, it's not possible, it is hard, they are finished this month in the name of Jesus Christ. This is going to be an exciting thing. And it's just a few weeks, just through this month. Hallelujah. I prophesy in the name of Jesus the Christ, the one with whom we have a covenant in this church, that this month the heavens are open over you. Your heart is opened. This month you receive enlargement of heart, enlargement of capacity to function at a higher level. Your level of spiritual authority has changed this month. In the mighty name of Jesus, things will answer to you better than they ever did. This month, favor on a new level. Where you have been rejected before, you will be accepted now. Peter toiled all night to get fish. The fish ran away from him. But one revelation from Jesus brought wealth to him. The next time he went to the same sea, the fish ran into his net. The difference was he didn't have it spiritually before. In the name of Jesus, in the place where you have experienced lack, this year there will be super abundance for you. I pray for the person in this service who says, well, my problem is I don't even have a relationship with God in the first place. I want to have a relationship with God. I don't want Satan to ruin my life, and I don't want deception. I don't want to be deceived about life. Sin is the greatest hindrance between us and God. Sin is not just an act, it's a nature. When we ask God to forgive us, we realize he sent his son to die for our sins already. So we just ask him to forgive us. He forgives us. But our lives begin to change from that point on. I want to pray with that honest person in this service who says, Pastor Sam, please pray with me that God should forgive me my sins. Can you please just put your hand on your heart where you are? I'd like to pray with you. Simple, short prayer, but a life-changing one. Somebody says, I've been a Christian, but I have backslidden into sin. If Jesus Christ comes now, I'm not absolutely certain I will make heaven. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. Can you also put your hand on your heart, please? I'd like to pray with you. God bless you for your honesty. God bless you. That's the starting point. Everything changes from there. If your hand is on your heart for this prayer, can you please stand by your chair where you are? We'll be done in 1 minute. God bless you, sir. Can you please stand? God bless you, sir. Life is about choices, not chances. People think success is chances. It's not chances. It's choices. I'm asking you to make the first strategic choice right now. But from the moment you make that choice will also begin to make you. Your future is guaranteed. If you're standing, please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins, and I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, let me pray for you. Father, thank you for everyone standing. Thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. And thank you because your power touches every single one of them today. We thank you for this miracle of change in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.